Hi everyone and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm your host Lawrence Chapman and I'm the Senior Copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. I'm continuing to wind back the clock to the Product Marketing Summit in San Francisco, where I welcome product marketers to the podcast stage for compelling industry discussions. And in this episode, I'm thrilled to share my chat with Rebecca Geraghty, VP of Product Marketing at Publicis Media. Rebecca's a marketing and communications professional for B2B technologies and an active writer and contributor to the product marketing field. A recent inclusion in the top 100 product marketing influencers list for 2022, Rebecca has experienced marketing both hardware and software solutions at the likes of Canon, Publicis, and early stage startups. She's worked across a range of industries, as well as SaaS, augmented reality, AI, and has even experienced working with advanced aerospace technology products. During our chat, Rebecca shared her insights on how product marketers can work cross-functionally to establish product marketing OKRs. Okay, so delighted to be joined here at the Product Marketing Summit by Rebecca Geraghty. So Rebecca is the VP of Product Marketing at Publicis Media. Rebecca, so good to finally meet you after all this time.
So good to finally meet you too, Lawrence. And like I was saying, you're actually taller than I expected, so it's fun to get discover the real person. And yeah. I know we've kind of been friends over Slack and Zoom for a couple of years now.
Slack and Zoom, yeah. Seen outside, like the little box, it's quite strange. But how are you? Everything good?
Everything is good. And the biggest thing I've been excited to tell you is I took my first trip to the UK since the pandemic back in July.
Yeah.
And I actually went to Manchester.
You went to Manchester?
I did.
How did you like it?
Oh my gosh, it's the best. I have a bunch of family there. So I was kind of practicing my accent to give it to you. So do you want to hear it?
All right, go on.
Well, we went to Manchester for the 4th of July weekend. And the funny thing was, everywhere I went, I was looking at the Union Jack and took photos to post to Facebook.
That's fantastic. You know what? 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Really?
I'd say it's even better than mine, Rebecca. Even better than mine. But wait, that was in Tudel, right?
I was in Wilmslow.
Oh, fantastic.
Family.
Lovely. Really, very, very nice. Oh, well, I'm glad you had a nice time. So just to start off, please can you just tell us a little about your role at Publicis Media?
Sure. Well, I lead a product marketing team of five people, and we're at a really exciting moment as a team because I was asked to go from being an individual contributor last fall to stepping up to actually lead the team. And since then, we've brought on board four out of the five people brand new. So we've kind of been forming ourselves as a team and standing up the processes and getting everybody ramped up. It's very exciting because each person comes from a very different background and really brings their own skills to the mix. And we are there to basically do the typical product marketing things around content, around product demos, which is a personal passion of mine, clear communications, and just plugging in wherever we can be helpful across our product journeys.
Yeah. Fantastic. And what does product marketing actually look like at Publicis Media? Can you give us an indication as to how the team's structured and, you know, who reports into who? You know, what does it look like?
Sure. It's, in our case, I lead the team and we have five different people, and I started by having everybody focus on different product areas, which I think is kind of the typical way that teams are organized for product marketing. And then I'm also looking very closely at other ways that we can divide and conquer across cross-functional projects and even have expertise around some of the systems that we're using. I've found different things, like as we're ramping up as a team, it takes time to learn things like our email systems or some of the process areas, or even, you know, how to best work with different teams. So I'm looking more and more at how we can kind of matrix out our responsibilities to have both horizontal expertise as well as that product level.
Fantastic. And in terms of, you know, 2022, it's flown by so far. How we're in September already, I really do not know. But what's been your highlight of the year so far?
That's a really good question. I think a couple things come to mind. I mean, again, last year, in the end of the year for me, was recruiting amidst the toughest job market in absolute decades, as well as recruiting for product marketers who were in particularly high demand at this moment, which is something I love being at this conference that our field is having such a moment. So the start of the year was really about finally having most of that team in place and beginning to come together to form our way of working and get into a rhythm together. And a couple of the moments that have been the most pride-inducing for me have been around our product demos. So getting each person to learn the talking points of their product, the ins and outs of how to give a demo, and then bringing that together for all of us to present our capabilities. I just felt like a very proud mother hen, seeing everybody up there shining and giving it their all with their unique style. Mm-hmm. So product demos have always been a big passion from the very beginning for me, all the way back to like late 2013 when I entered product marketing. And now getting to stand in a position of not just doing demos, but helping other people discover their own demo style and bring that into the world. I see it as such an exciting area.
Oh, fantastic. And in terms of this discussion that we're having now, you know, we're going to be focusing a little bit on how to set goals, but also, you know, in a more specific way, setting goals in a collaborative manner. So how do you prioritize your team's goals at Publicis Media? And is there almost like a degree of flexibility with those goals once they've been set?
Such an important question. And it's one that's been on my mind because there's actually a panel that I'll be speaking on later today about how to balance short and long-term goals. And I think the answer that I would give is it's complicated. I think especially in an era of agile product development where things are always changing, it's no longer the static roadmaps. Things are just changing constantly, like a social media feed speed of change. I've learned that we have to be really flexible with our goals and our priorities. And that is kind of an interesting spot to be in when you're no longer just managing your own goals, but you're helping set them for a team and helping people understand that the goals are going to keep shifting. So how do we together figure out how we're going to deliver what we need to day to day, but also make progress on those bigger picture things, especially when, you know, not everybody kind of thinks in the most strategic terms of we need a messaging matrix and we didn't need an enablement framework. Like, that doesn't always resonate with teams that are like, I need this thing from you now. But as product marketers, we kind of know that that's the bigger activities that feed the tactical things. So it's been kind of an interesting journey to try lots of different ways of setting goals and then tweaking goals. And a couple of the things that I'm more recently learning is it is completely okay to hit pause on certain efforts. And sometimes, you know, when you're a lover of checking something off your list, like for me, that feels so good to give something the big check mark or strike it off the list. It can be frustrating to not get to that point and get so far with something and then need to put it to the side. But I'm learning that actually there's a lot of benefit in doing that because the work that we've done is not lost. And by putting that investment in, we have something to pick up later that we can keep going with. Sure. But being able to pivot and stay flexible lets us really continue being focused on what matters most in that moment and shifting with the priorities.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of the actual processes that you have in place to establish both short and long-term goals, can you just almost like, I know we have literally got like a 20-minute, half-an-hour podcast, so you can't go into too much detail, but can you kind of give us a little bit of a potted version as to what that process looks like?
Yeah, and I think the best answer I can give is we're evolving in how we do that. Some of the thoughts that I've been having more recently is we can take a lot of inspiration from our product teams in how they develop products. And by that I mean if we apply an agile marketing framework where we kind of think in big epics, big things that we want to achieve, and then break them down into the smaller subtasks. By focusing on the big efforts, that's the big bucket areas that we know we want to get to, the big ticket overarching items. And those can be broad, longer term, and evolving goals that we know we want to chip away at. And then that lets us break down the smaller parts that we need to deliver week to week. Yeah. And for me personally, I don't know about for you, Lawrence, like that's not the way I was taught in the early years of my career to approach goals. Mm-hmm. It was very much like, what's our plan? Let's deliver against our plan. Mm-hmm. And it was fixed and it stayed in time. Yeah. And with the way technology has gone and SaaS in the last few years, I think it's pushing marketing goals much more in that same direction of adapting.
Yeah, you need to be a little bit more malleable, don't you? You can't just like, you know, things change all the time, you know, and you can't stay transfixed and, you know, head on one road. You know, sometimes you do need to branch off in a little bit, different directions. So totally 100% understand where you're coming from. So in terms of like which teams you work with to achieve those targets, you know, once they've been set, who do you work with the most and how are tasks, first of all, how are they delegated and how do you liaise with your team members to make sure that everyone's almost like on the right page and everyone's singing from the same hymn sheet?
Yeah, so with this role and then with the multiple other product marketing roles I've had in my career, I always say that my product team is my closest partner and one of my best friends. So they're one of the teams that we work with most often. But like most product marketers, I would say we work with almost every team that there is. We have a huge amount of interaction with product support, with program operations, with the scrum masters, even with users, which of course is critically important. So there probably isn't a team that we don't interact with. And what I find exciting about that opportunity is getting to be that close to the product, getting to really understand how products are built, that depending on who you report into, whether it be through product or through marketing, not all product marketing roles let you get such a close view, and we're getting to have that right now. As far as the second part of what you were asking, the vision that I have for the team is that each person is really running their area of the business, and they are as much part of helping set the goals and the priorities based on what they're seeing as the needs on the ground as I am. And you know, while people are newer, I'm setting a lot of that direction and delegating out. But where I'm really excited for things to go as each person ramps up is we meet in the middle around, yeah, you know, let's have a dialogue about what we see the most important things being and how we want to tackle them.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. It's almost like just giving your team members that like sense of empowerment, like to make sure that it's like, right, it's not just a case of I'm delegating you this and this. This is what the role is. You know, making sure that everyone's almost like, you've got that indication as to what they need to do because they've been a part of the process itself. I think that's so important. You know, it always happens. I mean, just from a content perspective, you know, we have, you know, so many different, so many different processes that we put in place to make sure that we can, you know, produce content. To be that it's going to be the very best it can be, but we know what it's like because we've all contributed to it. So I imagine that translates directly into, you know, yourselves with your product marketing goals and so on and so forth.
Which is, and you're right, and that's one of the things I've always found really exciting about being in this field. And by the way, I've had my love-hate moments with product marketing along the way. I definitely had moments when I worked at Canon of kind of, am I doing marketing today at all? Mm-hmm. Because I think all I'm doing is item codes or physically setting up boxes for this product demo. How is this marketing? Mm-hmm. And definitely had that kind of identity crisis. And that was before PMA existed, by the way.
Really?
So when I showed up at my first PMA conference and I heard people talking about all these same questions I had, it was like, I found my people. This is just phenomenal. So it's so exciting, I think, that our field is becoming more self-aware and more sophisticated in all the resources and community around it. But also, I think that one of the areas that's so cool about this field is to be effective as a product marketer, you need to have a lot of knowledge and context. And I kind of think of each person, like when they're really ramped up, as a knowledge center. Because it's by knowing enough about your products, your users, your markets, even the way your company works and how to get stuff done. Plus, oh, by the way, all those marketing skills that we need to bring to the table, content, copywriting, good presentations, good product demos, being compelling, good design eye, like, you know, the 17 PhDs I feel like we all need to be good product marketers. When you bring all of that together, that's really such a source of talent and skill and expertise that I'm excited about the possibility for each person as they go and they have a point of view on what the goals should be and what we should be focused on, and that they have enough clarity on the overarching goals that we're trying to achieve as an organization, and that we really do meet in the middle. That's much more empowering to me in any of the roles I've held, rather than just being told, do this, this, and this, but let's really create this together.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So in terms of when you're building a team, how do you go about building a team that's diverse with the expertise needed? So almost like achieve common goals. So obviously everybody brings different skills to the fore, right? So what one person may have, somebody else may not. So how do you go about building a team that really complements one another?
It's such an exciting question that I'm in the midst of working through. And it's been really rewarding to get to not only kind of take this process end to end. So write the job description, which was the first time I had ever got to do that for hiring people for my team. And I wrote things in it like, I'm looking for people with a figure it out mentality, somebody that can go from a 50,000 foot overview of their message all the way down into the weeds. And I really got to put my heart and soul into what should this role be? What are we really looking for? And then go through recruiting and interviewing and finding those people and then sort of finding something in each person or a series of things that said they have what it takes, that this is someone I'd like on the team.
Yeah.
And then you have this idea of this person, it's the weeks leading up to it, and then they're finally here. So now how do we take that journey and bring us all into the fold? Because you're right, each person that I've hired is extremely unique in their style and their skills, and that's why I wanted them on the team. So now we then face this question of, all right, there's six of us together. How do we all get on the same page as things are changing and evolving super fast, as each person is at a different point in their learning curve, and as priorities are shifting and evolving? So the things that I really focus on to help us be as effective as we can is I communicate as much as possible.
Yeah.
I find myself saying a lot of things of, this might not immediately affect your area of what you're focused on today, but I want you to have it in your consciousness of what's going on. And I think that across the board communication is one step. And then really encouraging continuous learning, both about the products, about the market, from each other, about, we're a very large company, about our company and our business, are all kind of ingredients that affect that. And the diversity of thought piece, I'm even more excited about what's to come with that, because when people are new, you're trying to sort of infuse knowledge into them. Learn this, learn how to do these things these ways. So you're sort of shaping them. But then once they know how to do that stuff, I want to almost take the guardrails away. And it's like, you know what good looks like. Now you define how we do this.
Yeah, sure.
Your definition of good might look totally different than mine. And that's great. And it can be equally as effective and bring your style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. And in terms of like best practices when you're trying to obviously like develop, but then subsequently manage a cross-functional team, what does that look like for you?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think my team is all product marketing. So in a way, maybe we're not as cross-functional, but our products are different. So we therefore are spanning multiple functions, as well as tackling projects that are in the support category, the product management category, different things. So it's, what does it look like is, I think, a lot of context switching all day long, and diving into, you know, the nuances and weeds of one thing and then jumping totally out of that into another place. And again, I think it comes back to rigorous focus on what is the problem we're trying to solve, and getting crisp on that goal, which is not so easy, by the way, right? Like projects can get ambiguous very quick. So
yeah, absolutely.
I will always be asking, like, let's come back to the goal. Is what we put on this slide helping us convey that or achieve that or chip away at that, and be willing to clean sheet it as many times as needed until we kind of get it right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and then in terms of what your product, you're just almost like switching attention to yourself really now and your personal product marketing journey, what would you say your biggest product marketing success story has been to date? So that's a massive question, I do apologize, but
it's a fun question. I mean, I've been thinking a lot since arriving here yesterday about the fact that I'm coming up on my 9th year in product marketing.
Oh, really?
And I was in marketing communications before that. So I've been in this field longer than it feels like in some ways, and I've seen many different types of products and industries and challenges that have pushed me along the way. And I think two come to mind as the most exciting. What I mentioned before about seeing our team give demos together and seeing each person have gone from that total newbie to applying their own style to confidently be the voice and face of our products, that is such a moment of pride for me, and really enjoying seeing that come to life. So that's one on the team level. But from my earlier journey, I have to say that being part of a business pitch back years ago when I worked at Canon, and having some really good things come out as a result of the product demos and the prep and the coordination and the how we brought the message and the content together, had some really positive results. And I ended up being honored with one of our company spirit awards, which included its own parking spot for a year. So every time I got to park, kind of in my privileged spot, I got to remember the feeling of that moment and the good things that came from it with that product.
Oh, nice. But just on messaging, when you know, I know you just very, you know, very briefly touched on it. What does good messaging or effective messaging look like to you?
I have a very complicated relationship with messaging, and what does it look like is, it's a really, can be such a long journey to get to it. And then when you land it, I think what good looks like is, does it resonate with the person on the other side of the table?
Yeah, sure.
It can be as simple as the deer in the headlights check. If they are giving you a glazed over look, it's not resonating. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how sophisticated or catchy or, you know, how much work went into it. If it's not actually clear on what problem you're solving or what they can do with that information and can they solve their own problem, then that's not effective.
It's not doing its job. Yeah.
And conversely, then when you get them like, oh yeah, I get it, and the sparkle in their eyes and the nodding of the head, then yeah, you've nailed it. And that's good.
Yeah.
Which is so ambiguous, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've enjoyed it so much. It's been very much worth the wait meeting you in person. Just to round off, I just wanted to speak with you about how product marketers can add value to their customer base.
How we can add value. So, big topic. I think where I always come back to on this question, when faced with what are all the things we could be doing and what can and should we be doing now, is come back to what is the problem we're trying to solve and be really, really crisp on that, both on a product level, but then also interrogating as product marketers the messaging, the assets, the content that we're building. Is that super clear about what we're solving for and how that customer can use this to solve that problem?
Yeah, sure.
And if it's not, maybe we have more work to be done.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Rebecca, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. Did you enjoy it?
Very much. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of the summit.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. Remember, we have an extensive back catalogue of episodes waiting to be explored, as well as dedicated series focusing on core product marketing areas such as storytelling, go-to-market, leadership, sales enablement, competitive intelligence, and much more. For the full selection, head to www.productmarketingalliance.com/podcasts.